right? So I'm glad to be with you. And in case you don't know, Smith Baptist Association works with 90 churches. Now, you guys are in the Northern Kingdom, but we go all the way to the Southern Kingdom, down in Jacksonville, out to Troop, and over to Edom, all over Smith County and the surrounding counties. And we are a missions organization. That is, we support churches, help to plan and conduct mission trips, which you guys know. We train pastors, we train leaders, we really do anything the church needs us to do. We try to say we're the first line of defense. Call us first. If we can't help you, we'll help you find somebody that can help you. And so the reason I'm saying all that is you are a part of us, and I want to say a heartfelt thank you today for your support of Smith Baptist Association. Because of your tithes and offerings and your support of us, we can do all these things I just mentioned and much, much more. This year, we didn't get to go on any mission trips. There were supposed to be three, one to Turkey, one to Cuba, and one to Africa, and they all got canceled because of COVID, and so we weren't able to go. But we'll be going next year, and when we go to these places, you are represented there, and you're welcome to go on any of those trips that you'd like. Just contact me and let me know that you're interested in a trip, and we'll see to it that we get you on that. And so I wanted honestly to just say thank you. You guys may not know it, but you are in the top probably five out of those 90 churches in giving. And that's pretty impressive. And I want to say thank you this morning for your faithfulness to give to missions. So here we are in the midst of COVID, right? I mean, yeah, some of us are wearing masks today, some weren't, some are here, some aren't. All this stuff is going on. And so as I began to think about what to preach on today, Psalm 23 came to mind. I entitled this Confidence in the Time of Crisis / COVID, right? Confidence in the time of COVID. Some of us are more anxious than others. I talked to somebody just today who said they're just having panic attacks and anxiety because, you know, you can't control anything. You don't know what you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to go. And some say this and some say that, and they just get all anxious. And so as I thought about that, Psalm 23 came to mind. And I thought, what a great passage for us, me included, to hear during this time. And so I told you, I want to read it for you out of the King James Version, because that's the version you're probably most used to. So let me read it for you once again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father God, I just ask that you would hide me behind the cross now, that you would speak through me to these folks and let them hear exactly what they need to hear from your word today. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to read the 23rd Psalm to me is to feel comfort. I don't know of any other passage of Scripture that brings comfort like the 23rd Psalm. That's why us pastors use it so often in sermons at funerals. We want to comfort the family. And as one scholar said, the psalm itself is a green pasture, right? The psalm itself is the still water. The psalm itself restores my soul. The very words of that text brings comfort to us, or at least it should. And I want you to realize this morning that Psalm 23 is a very personal scripture. You should read it as though he is writing to you. Yes, David wrote it, but he is writing it to us. And there's no references in this passage to we or us or they. Do you realize that? I don't know what parts of speech those are. Some of y'all English teachers can help me. But the only thing you hear are my, me, and mine, and you, and I, and you. It is very personal. It is not pronouns. That's what I was trying to find. It's very personal and in nature. It's not written to the multitude. It's written to you and it's written to me. And why is it so personal? It's because this is David's testimony. David is writing from experience here. He is wanting us to know that he believes in the presence of God no matter what he's going through. And it should be a special revelation to us that there is healing here for wounded souls, healing here for those of us who might be anxious, healing for those of us who are going through times of trouble. You know, when you look at it, it speaks of green pastures and still waters, and that brings us comfort. But then it also talks about dark valleys and enemies and those who surround us. You see, there's two sides to it, and he speaks to both sides here. But I think what comforts us and helps us the most is the psalmist's confidence here. David really believes that this is all about God. We realize as we linger in these words over what David wrote that he's not exaggerating. This is not some great theology that he's sharing. This is his personal testimony. And he's telling us, I went through this. I did this, and God was right there with me. You know, David slew the lion and slew the bear and defended his sheep as a shepherd. And so he knew what it was like to depend upon God. He experienced God in those ways. And God heard his voice. And he heard God's voice. And he followed his lead. And he allowed God to care for him. My question this morning for you is, are you following God in times of crisis? Are you following God in times of trouble? Are you relying on God to be your shepherd? You know, we can trust these things to be so about a man who wrote 1,000 years before Christ because he left clues for us in the right places, right here in God's Word. I want you to realize we're going to approach this from a little bit different standpoint this morning, but I want you to look at the tenses that are here. David, first of all, speaks in the third person. Notice that the first three verses, David speaks to God in the third person. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down. He leads me, and he restores my soul. And so then in the fourth verse, he switches. If you look at it with me, in the fourth verse, he switches, and he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. And then he closes by returning back to third person and saying, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house forever. And so the question comes, why did he start out talking in third and then shift in verse 4 to third person? He started in first and shifted to third. Why did he do that? In verse 4, I believe it's because it becomes very personal to him. He's no longer talking about God. Now he's talking to God. Have y'all ever noticed that in times of trouble, we draw closer to God? We read his scripture more. We pray more. We rely on friends and family and believers more. We want to draw close to him. Isn't that right? But in most days, most cases, we talk about God. God is here. We know God. We know who he is. We know what he's doing. We know he's there for us, but we don't need him right now. Well, David realizes in verse 4, he shifts to the you and yours because it is personal. And he wants you to know that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for he is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And when he changes the he to the more intimate you in verse 4, it's because he speaks of the valley that he's walked in. When you walk in the valley, that's when it becomes personal. That's when you reach out for help. That's when you reach out to God. That's when you pray like you've never prayed before. When you're in that valley, here he is. He felt the shadows closing in. He realized he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he calls out to God. And it's those times when something deep happens between you and God, and it happened between David and God. And so I'd ask you this morning, have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been in that time in your life where you had to reach out to God? You had to trust God. You had to depend upon him. Maybe there's a time in your life when you're you're trying to decide between a cancer treatment or between leaving your spouse or staying with your spouse, or maybe it's a family member that's in trouble, or maybe it's a financial crisis, whatever that valley is you're going through, you realize you are no longer in control. You can't do anything. You have to turn it over to God, and you have to turn to God. And so David changes here from comments about God to communion with God, because it's during his valley time. Maybe it's your valley time today. Maybe that's the very reason God laid this scripture on my heart. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your lives, but I know in a crowd this size, there's bound to be trouble, there's bound to be turmoil, there's bound to be something going on that you're fighting with. And I'm here to say today that God is your shepherd. He draws close to you. He stays beside you more so now than before. And he will lead you through that time. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time with other Christians. And we need to allow him to speak to us. And so as we look at this psalm today, that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for you, that God will write his truth on your heart, that you'll leave that anxiety behind, that you will realize that he is there for you. And like David, you will say that he is my shepherd. So I want us to look at two, three things here today. First of all, I want you to realize that the valley prepares us for the mountaintop. Do you realize that? I just went hiking with my grandson in Big Bend National Park. And, you know, while we're hiking in the valley, it was fine. But then we went up to the mountaintop, and I was a little winded at the mountaintop, I'll tell you. In fact, I told him, you need to remember that your 67-year-old grandpa was hiking with you today after two hip surgeries and a back surgery. I'm kind of proud of that. But anyway, when we go through the valley, we realize we're at the lowest point, amen, and we're going to get to the mountaintop. And when we get to the mountaintop, we can look back at that valley. David has a gentle picture of the shepherd and the sheep in the valley here. It's his relationship with God, and he has a relationship with us, and David has a relationship with him. And everything makes sense in our understanding of the shepherd as long as he's leading them through the pastures, right? But why is the shepherd leading the sheep through the valley, through the shadow of death, through the area of that where they could be harmed? Why is the shepherd doing that? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, he leads us through the valley to get us to a better place. He leads us through the valley so that he can show us how he conquers our fear and our concern and how he will bless us on the other side. He knows from experience that he has to get the sheep through this scary trail, through the valley of the shadow of death, if you will, to get them to the other side, to the greener pastures. If we had no valleys, we would not appreciate the pastures. I'm just here to tell you that today. And so this, as we look at this, everything in our understanding says, no, the shepherd should not lead them through the valley. The shepherd should lead them through the high pastures. Well, he's headed there, folks. And maybe in your life today, you're going through the valley, but he is headed through to the high pastures with you. And he will bless you if you will hang in there with him. It says, when we get to verse 4, like I said, it doesn't fit because he's putting the sheep in jeopardy. He's leading them. Remember, he leads them through the valley. He takes them that way so that they can get to the higher pastures. And so that's the whole reason for that. And the connection between verse 3 and verse 4 confirm this. It says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. He is with me. Why would he do that? He's the very one who lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. He would give his life for one of his sheep. And so he's not leading them into danger. He's leading them through danger. I read a little, as I was preparing for this, I read a little article from a man named Philip Keller, who's an Australian shepherd. And he has a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd. And he includes this observation about those barren valleys. This is a quote. The shepherd knows from past experience that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, and cougar can take cover in these broken cliffs and from their vantage point prey on his flock. He knows these valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water down the slopes. there could be rock slides or mud slides or a dozen other natural disasters that would destroy or injure his sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock to the high country. He spares himself no pains or trouble or time to keep an eye out for the sheep as they go through this area. Folks, that's the picture. If you're in a dark valley today, realize you're not alone. God is there with you. He is guiding you, and he's taking you to the other side. And so when you're walking through that unfamiliar valley and the shadows linger and you have to make those tough decisions in your life, recognize that God is always there with you. He never leaves us or forsakes us, right? As Paul put it in Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The valley isn't good, but the shepherd is. Amen? The shepherd, the good shepherd, he knows the way. The second thing is, and we've already alluded to it, the shepherd is always with us. David tells us how to... He tells us how to be fearless in the face of this adversary. He tells us that even the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't dread the distress that he would face. He didn't cringe in the face of crisis. And so we can take strength from him. We can understand that he is showing us how to behave in those times. How do you fight fear when you don't know what's going to happen next? How do you fight the COVID, if you want to look at it that way, when we don't know what's next, if we're going to be locked back down or even worse, have to have something done to us to protect us? We don't know. Well, how did David do it? David says that his confidence came from being with the Lord. First of all, he knew that God was going to be with us. In verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so he speaks of God's nearness, of God's presence. And as we step into any valley, we should realize that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how scary it is, God is always there with us. I mentioned this verse a second ago, Hebrews 13:5-6. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So let me ask you, in the midst of a COVID crisis, has he left us? In the midst of a financial battle, has he left us? In the midst of a cancer diagnosis, has he left us? No. God is always there with us. As I thought about this and thought about going through dark places, I don't know why, but this popped into my mind. I used to go deer hunting with my dad, and we would get up early in the morning. You know how you have to do. You have to get up early, you have to go out in the dark, and you have to make your way to the stand, and then you have to get in the stand. You sit there until the sun comes up, and then, in my case, you never see anything, you go back home. But with him, I remember getting up early in the morning, and Dad would say, "There's the trail, just take off down that trail." And you know what? I'd get down that trail, and I was probably grade school age, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th grade, maybe a little older. And I'd start down that trail, and I would get to a spot where I couldn't tell which way the trail went. You know what I would do? I'd turn around and look at my dad, and he'd go like that. And I'd go down that next trail, and we'd go down a little further. And I'd begin to get a little concerned, a little scared, and I'd look back at him, and he'd just say, go on, everything's fine. He was leading me through the dark times. He was leading me in the dark. Even though I was scared, I was not worried about him because I knew he knew the way. And that's what we're talking about here. God knows the way. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always there. There is no valley, no matter how dark, that you will go through alone. He will never leave you. The second thing David realizes is that the shepherd's power is greater than the enemy's power. If you don't hear anything else this morning, please hear this. The shepherd, that's Jesus Christ, his power is greater than our enemy, and that's Satan. He's greater. He's got control. You know, the shepherd had a club in one hand and a staff in the other. The club, he could fight off the animals with it. That's how he killed the bear and the lion. And with the staff with a crook on it, he could gently lead the sheep along. You know, he could do either or. The club was to defend the flock against the attacks, and the staff was to help lead. God is that way with us. He leads us. He is stronger than the enemy. If Satan tries to attack us, all we have to do is put on the armor of God. Amen? He cannot do anything to us. You know the end of the story. Satan is thrown into the depths of hell, and we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is trust Him. And so we are not to have fear in the face of our enemy, because God is there to comfort us. I served with a pastor for a long time that used to say it like this. And he said it this way every time. Greater is He that's in me, and that's God, than he that's in the world, and that's Satan. He always said that. When you knew that he was fixing to share with you John 4, 1 John 4:4, you might as well get ready. Greater is He that's in me, and that's God, than he that's in the world, and that's Satan. You know what? That is absolutely true. And David knew that, and we should know that. Greater is He that's in me, Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world. I have no reason to fear. I have no concern about tomorrow. I am not anxious. I'm not an anxious person anyway, but I'm not anxious. I know that God is in control of all that's going on. I know that He's working all this together for those that love us and are called according to His purpose. I know that He's doing that for us, and so I'm not concerned. I'm just waiting to see how He's going to take charge. The third and last thing is David experienced the shepherd's leading. Your staff comforts me. He was referring to the crook. And with a hook in one on one end and just a stick on the other, he could reach out and gently tap the side of the sheep and head them down the right path, just as my dad would just point his arm this way or point his arm that way. And so he could lead them on. And if one got up on the rocks a little out of the way and he needed to get back on the path, he could take that hook and pull him back down onto the path. That's the picture that we have here, folks. A good shepherd would use this tool to guide his sheep lest they stray. God uses this tool to guide his sheep. That's us, lest we stray. You may not like being called a sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb animals, to be honest. But we need a shepherd to follow, and we have one. A little tap of the staff on the lamb's side would move him back to his mom. The crook would gather the sheep from the rocks or the places where they might be in danger. And David felt comforted that his sheep were guarding his that the shepherd was guarding his steps and making sure that he makes it through the valley safely. You know, as I was walking through those woods going to that deer stand, we would finally arrive at the deer stand. And my dad would help me get in the stand and help me get my gun up so I didn't have some kind of accident. And then I would sit down, and I was safe at last. I'd made it through the darkness. I'd made it through the scary part. I'd stayed on the trail. I got to the end. And David knows that God is guiding our steps. The shepherd is guiding his steps to be sure that he makes it through the darkness and makes it through to the right place. David was confident not only about his present circumstances, but he had grace in the future that would see him all the way home. He knew God wasn't going to abandon him. He believed that the valley times were appointed for his good, and he saw that we could learn no other way than to watch God and to follow the shepherd. And so he stayed close, and he trusted God's provision, and he had guidance all the way. And all because he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say that this morning? Can you say that the Lord is my shepherd? Has there been a time in your life where you've actually asked Jesus to come into your heart and life and to turn away from your sin and turn to Him and ask forgiveness of those sins? That's what it means to be a Christian. It's simple, childlike faith. And if you're here this morning and you haven't done that, if you haven't trusted Him, it's just as easy as it was for you to come in and sit down on that pew today. I looked around. Nobody checked that pew to see if it was going to hold you up. Did you? No. You just came in and sat down. You know what that's called? Faith. You had faith that pew was going to hold you up. It's just that simple. You say to yourself, "I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to Him. I want to ask forgiveness of sin and ask Him to come into my heart and my life and save me." If you haven't done that, that's the first thing you need to do. Then I want to leave you with four little quick things here. When you find yourself weak, when you find yourself in the dark, uncertain of the future, when your soul is downcast, look up. Look up. Don't look around. Look up. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is our good shepherd. That's the first takeaway. The second takeaway, stick close to Him. Stick close to God. Trust that He knows the way through the valley and He will see you through that valley. He will never leave you or forsake you. So stick close to Him. Follow Him. Don't look around. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go over here with this group or that group. Stay with God. The third thing is believe that He has good reasons for taking you on this journey. Even though it's hard, even though it's unfamiliar, hold on to the truth that there's something better waiting on the other side. God loves you and cares for you and He wants to see you through. And then finally, at the end of this verse, we see that to trust in God, that He will give us goodness and mercy for today. No. He will give us goodness and mercy all the days of our life. Folks, I don't know about you, but I like goodness. And I certainly need mercy. And I think all of us are that way. We want the goodness of God to permeate our lives. We want it to flow out of us into others that we come in contact with. And we certainly need mercy because none of us are just outside of faith in Jesus Christ. And so you have to believe in Him. You have to trust in Him. And by His mercy, He will provide for us and He will save us. That's the whole point, folks. That's what the Scripture is all about. A lot of different ways you can go with Psalm 23. But if nothing else this morning, I want you to think of it as a personal psalm written just for you. Amen? Amen. Well, there's a lot of good words in the Psalms, a lot of good words in the book here. And if you're worried, if you're concerned, if you need some help, feel free to call me. I'm sure Kelly would be glad to talk with you or any of your other staff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the blessings of the day. Lord, I just ask that You would be with us during this time of invitation. If there's one here this morning, Lord, that needs to know You as personal Savior, if they need to ask for forgiveness of sin, that today might be the day they will do that. Lord, I thank You for this church and for the ministry that she has in this community and for all that takes place here. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that needs to join a church today, that this might be the time for them to do it, that they might cast their lot with this group of believers. And Father, for those that may need to ask forgiveness today of something in their life, perhaps it's a lack of faith, perhaps it's just a wrong choice they've made, give them confidence to do that. Father, this is Your time. This is Your invitation. Your time to call Your people to Yourself. And so we trust that You will do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing a hymn of invitation. I'll be here if you need to speak with me. But of course, you can do business with God right where you sit.